Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Priyanka Sahai and you are tuned into Setting Sail, our weekly podcast that dives through the changing landscape of the entrepreneurship ecosystem and the challenges within. With more and more people preferring to cook at home, dining out has become a thing of the past post the pandemic. However, restaurants and QSR owners are trying their best to innovate their operations so that they can make their way to the dining tables of the Indian households. Is there a silver lining at all? No more as I speak to none other than Sagar Daryani, founder and CEO of Bao Momo. Hi Sagar, thank you so much for taking time out for us.
Hi Priyanka, thank you so much for having me here.
Absolutely Sagar, and that's indeed a pleasure for us. Now Sagar, it has been over 4 months since the lockdown was first announced. How have things changed for a company like yours from the day one of the lockdown to now?
Well, Priyanka, these are tough times, you know, Corona times. The tables have turned and I would say they are still rotating, you know. We don't know which way we are going. To be honest, you know, we've, as an organization, we've decided to reinvent ourselves. We've decided to be agile. We've decided to, you know, the entire business model has changed. And if our business model changes, the business model of landlords, the business model of food aggregators have changed. The consumer habits have changed, you know, and to cater to that habit, you know, we've diversified. It's more about, you know, I mean, delivery is the new normal now. You know, takeaway, pre-order takeaway is something new that we are seeing people coming to the restaurant, not wanting to enter the restaurant, but pre-ordering and having the meal inside their car in their confined group of people, you know. So there is a fear psychosis amongst people. They don't want to mingle in crowds. And, you know, I mean, our industry, the food and beverage industry, is actually divided into three parts and we are one of the worst affected. So I'll just tell you the three parts. You know, one is the QSR, the quick service restaurants, or the takeaway, which where Bao Momo falls under. The other is the casual dine, and the third is the fine dine, right? I think out of the three, the fine dine and the casual dine has been the most affected, because I think fine dine and casual dine was all about the experience, you know, about going out, eating, spending time, creating memories. In our country, food is one of the biggest entertainers after Bollywood, right? So it was more about, you know, spending time, going to your favorite restaurant. And now many of your favorite restaurants will never open up again. Like, you know, there's going to be a lot of bloodbath. I myself am aware of many restaurants not opening up again. So the fine dine and the casual dine has been the most affected because they were always dine-in centric. You know, they were never delivery centric. However, in the case of QSR, which is the quick service restaurant, you know, I mean, it was a mix of delivery, mix of impulse buy, mix of takeaway and mix of dine-in, you know. So the entire business was divided into four parts. Fortunately for the QSR industry, the delivery has really thrived and grown further. I mean, if you talk about Bao Momo, you know, we were at 27% of delivery sales pre-COVID. Today, we stand at 65% of delivery sales post-COVID. So delivery has become the new normal. Takeaway for us was always in the range of 20 to 25%, which continues to be the same. The dine-in has really come down. You know, earlier, dine-in for us was almost close to 60% or 50%. That has come down to somewhere around 15%. So there is a fear psychosis amongst people. People don't want to go out. They don't want to, you know, be in groups and interact with other groups. There is this whole concept of social distancing, which is really not good for the economy, really not good for the F&B industry. However, restaurants are now pivoting. I think they are going for a delivery more model. You know, you see someone like a Social also working on its packaging, working on its delivery fleet and wanting to go out there and serve to the consumer, because the consumer was always a fan of food of their favorite restaurants, right? And no matter how much you talk about people cooking at home, ultimately there is an emotional connect to their favorite brands, right? So I think this is a pure play case of seeing consumer loyalty towards brand, and brands that have a trust factor within the consumers are going to survive, are going to strive forward. Obviously, a lot of reinventing is happening for business models like ours, which already had delivery as one of the sectors for revenue. That sector has really grown. So our focus has shifted from dine-in and impulse buy to more of delivery and impulse delivery. And we are seeing a lot of consumer preference to solo ordering. You know, earlier people would order for the entire family from one restaurant. Now you're seeing people being at home, and if it's a family of four, each one is ordering a separate meal from their separate favorite restaurant, right? Yes, there is a fear psychosis of the delivery rider coming to your doorstep, but I think the industry is working to, you know, towards taking all safety measures. I mean, in our industry, you know, we talk about contactless, but that is not really possible. You know, we can go contact light, but we can't go contactless. But yes, you know, I mean, right from the from the person preparing the food, his temperature is checked, right to the rider, his temperature is checked, and everything in a very transparent manner is mentioned to the consumer. I mean, the consumer is seeing brands have become more cautious about health hygiene. I think our industry was always focused on health and hygiene. It's just that, you know, the consumer has become now more focused, and we are sticking to what we were doing earlier, barring taking a few other surveillance stance around health, where temperature is being monitored, where you know, your staff symptoms are being monitored. We are trying to go contact light as much as we can. There is no touch between the restaurant executive and the delivery executive. And at the same time, you know, you'll see you're seeing a lot of social distancing even happening at the kitchen. So, you know, if the kitchen was of a 15-member crew, now it's come down to a 7-member crew. Restaurants have really made their menu very compact. It's a very limited menu, you know, because you want to avoid wastage, you want to avoid having a higher food cost, and you want to serve a very limited menu with limited people. Yes.
Are you saying that given the fact that the order volume has come down, you have truncated the menu also? There are only high-selling items that are available on the menu now?
There are high-selling items. At the same time, you know, people have innovated to create larger meals because, you know, when people are at home, there is demand for lunch, there is demand for dinner. So, you know, a single momo, which was a snack, you know, and over a period of time, we converted it into a meal. So, you know, from our end, you know, we have focused on converting the snack into a meal in a more larger proportion for delivery. So there are a lot of combo packs that are being created, not just for us. I'm seeing that happen for even the casual and the fine dine guys. Many of the fine dine guys who would never deliver earlier, like, you know, someone like a massive restaurant run by Zoravar Kalra would never do delivery. And now, you know, he's created his own packaging for delivery. Food is being delivered to the guests. Their favorite brands are coming to the houses. People are working on the packaging, trying to, you know, put in their best effort to keep the food hot. So, yeah, keeping the high selling items in the menu, at the same time working upon creating a meal which can be catered by one person, at the same time creating a meal that can be catered by the entire family. And also, you know, people are trying to keep stuff on the menu that travels well for delivery. You know, there are certain food that don't travel well for delivery. You know, I mean, the fried items get soggy. So people are also working. I mean, the industry is also working on creating menus which is more delivery friendly. So that's the change that we see on the menu.
Okay, that's quite interesting. You know, Sagar, Wow Momo sales stood at 5.5 crore in June, which is almost like tripling to what you reported in April, which was around 2 crore. How better was July for you? And do you see things improving likewise in the coming months?
So I'll tell you what, Priyanka, we were almost at a, you know, 16 to 18 crore number pre-COVID, right? And suddenly we came down to a 2 crore number in the month of April. So, you know, we were literally down by 1/8 to 1/10. And, you know, we literally, like you said, tripled in the month of June. July has been quite promising. You know, we've touched the 6 crore mark. And for August, we are looking at touching a 7.5 crore mark. The important factor here is that out of our 350 plus stores, almost 210 are open and 150 plus are shut. At the same time, during the COVID times, you know, we have, you know, we've decided to change our strategy. We've gotten into a tie-up with Cafe Coffee Day, where we are opening shop-in-shop formats inside Cafe Coffee Day, where it's about sweating the asset better. It is about sharing of resources and sharing of assets by two brands. So you'll see a lot of mergers, collaborations. You'll see a lot of brand tie-ups happening going forward, you know. So we have just set the trend with Cafe Coffee Day, and you'll see many more brands tying up together to get a throughput, get a better throughput sale, get a better throughput return on investment. So that is something whereby, you know, we've tried to put on a growth, and, you know, we've opened up 5 outlets in Cafe Coffee Day last month. This month, by the end of August, we would have 20 more outlets opening up. We've already opened 7 this month. So we are seeing a lot of traction happening in terms of growth. It's just that, you know, we are finding newer ways of growth. At the same time, you know, there is a lot of do-it-yourself happening. You know, people wanting to cook, like you said, you know, people wanting to cook meals in the house or wanting to, you know, become home chefs. So, you know, we are coming up with frozen momos, which is a very interesting thing, launching in the mid of September. So you will see Wow Momo frozen momos with a 9-month shelf life. The taste and the quality would be at par at what you get in fresh for QSR. So, you know, people would be able to, you know, take away their favorite pack of momos and keep it in the house, and it's going to be a concept of momo in a minute. So that's like one breaking news for us, where, you know, we've gone agile, we've tried to innovate and, you know, also enter into FMCG. So by mid of September, that would launch. So, you know, it's about making your product available to the consumer. The patterns of making them available to the consumer will change. Earlier, you know, you would do it through your stores. Now you're doing it through your stores. You're doing it through a cafe, like a Cafe Coffee Day. You're doing it through FMCG. So, you know, the product, as long as the product is good, there's a demand for the product. You just have to change the channel of making it delivered to the consumer, or you have to follow different channels, different verticals to ensure that the end product is reaching the consumer. I think that's what we've done. So, you know, we are looking at a 7.5 crore number in the month of August, and we're looking at touching a 12 crore number by December. And I think that's when, you know, we happen to break even. So at least for the QSR industry, whether it's Domino's, whether it's a Wow Momo, whether it's a Biryani Blues or a Burger Singh or KFC or any of the brands, you know, I think they have all come back to 50% or over 50% of their revenues pre-COVID. However, it's the fine dine and the casual dine, which is still struggling, you know, operating at a 20% at the maximum, you know, and for most of these casual dine and fine dines, you know, it was more about a destination where you would come, and our industry is about food and beverage, right? The beverage component is a very big factor in driving crowd. At the moment, you know, beverages are not allowed. Alcohol is not allowed to be served in restaurants, which, you know, makes no sense to me, you know, because, you know, if you're allowing alcohol to be sold from off liquor shops, it doesn't make sense of not allowing it to be sold within restaurants. And for restaurants, you know, for people to come back to the restaurants, you know, you have to make it more comfortable for the consumer and give the consumer what he demands, right? Today, without alcohol being served within restaurants, you know, the consumer has no extra incentive to, you know, come all the way and actually come and dine in, you know. So the consumer is happy sitting at home and ordering, or happy doing a takeaway, right? However, that is not what our industry was pre-COVID, right? I mean, people would want to come to the restaurant, spend time, create memories. So a lot has actually changed, you know. And I think the government will have to also come forward and step in and remove these restrictions of alcohol not being served, so that, you know, the fear psychosis from people's mind actually come out, you know, because things are improving. I mean, we have to all learn to live with this virus. We cannot lock down the entire economy and, you know, let the economy suffer, because we all have to move on and learn to live with the virus, just how other countries have done.
Right. While I hear you, Sagar, I also heard you saying that social distancing is something which is also hitting the economy, which is true to a large extent. But would you not agree if I were to say that social distancing is also required in order to curb the spread of the virus?
Definitely. Social distancing has to be here. It is the new normal. And, you know, the restaurants are ready to operate and allow dine-in to happen with social distancing. Today, you know, restaurants have been given permission in many cities to go out there and get the dine-in going. So when you are asking us to open up, right, it should be a green signal throughout, right? You don't want to be in a yellow signal, right? Today, by not having liquor to be allowed, which does not make any sense to us, you know, today you are just saying that you just serve your food menu and you don't serve your liquor menu. And this I'm talking on behalf of the casual dine and the fine dine industry. For them, they are in the yellow light signal space, you know, they're not in the green light signal space, because, you know, it's more of a half-hearted operations for them. I mean, today, if you're allowing them to open and, you know, maintain social distancing within the restaurants, follow the government guidelines, which we all are doing, you know, we've reduced our covers, we've reduced the number of tables, we are ready to, you know, work with that social distancing norm. In spite of the rentals being very high, the restaurants are willing to come back to that full operational mode and, you know, take up this challenge. But then, you know, it has to be a complete green light. You know, you can't have restrictions like no liquor being served. You can't have restrictions like, you know, post 9 p.m. there's a curfew. You can't have restrictions like, you know, there are Sundays are locked down in many cities, weekends are locked down in many cities. I personally feel these mini or micro lockdowns are not helping the economy in any way, right? I mean, social distancing has to be followed. We all, both you and me, have to be responsible. The entire economy has to be responsible. Everyone has to be masked. We all are masked for the few months, maybe the next year and a half, till when a vaccine comes in. But, you know, we are ready to follow social distancing norms and go out there and serve the consumer. Many of the consumers also want to follow the social distancing norms and come out and dine in. But you have to, you know, make it tempting for the consumer, make it convenient for the consumer by giving no restrictions on sale of beverages, on sale of liquor, because, you know, then the consumer has no incentive to come and spend time in the restaurant. You know, I mean, they would rather dine in and rather, you know, have it delivered. And for casual dine and fine dine, you know, that really hits them, because they were never delivery centric, delivery focused. I mean, for us in QSR, we are seeing a major part of the business come back. But if I have to talk macro, if I have to talk about the industry, I think a lot of bloodbath is going to happen. A lot of people have lost their jobs. Imagine, you know, our industry employs millions and millions of people. These are the guys, your restaurant stewards, your dishwashers. Many of them have lost their jobs. And in this crisis kind of a situation, where will they get another job, you know? So it is a matter of concern for the industry, for the economy.
How many outlets have you shut down already or plan to? Will it make sense to reduce the further outlets, the size of the outlets into maybe a takeaway counter? What do you have to say to that?
I'll tell you what, Priyanka, when we went for lockdown, Wow Momo was expanding at a very rapid pace. You know, we opened up 103 outlets last financial year. So we were going at an average of almost 9 to 10 outlets every month. When we went for lockdown, we had 40 stores in operation, under fit outs, out of which 12 were completely ready. And suddenly the lockdown happened in March and we could not open them. So it's 345 plus 40, so 385 stores that we had to look into. Out of that, you know, we've decided to completely shut around 35 stores, which were currently operational pre-COVID. And out of the new outlets that we had signed up and the work had started in 40 of them, you know, we've decided to back out from 10 of them. We have also opened up some 11 outlets during this lockdown in the last 2 months. And all these outlets have been largely takeaway or delivery-centric outlets. You know, they've been smaller outlets. Any large outlet, you know, we've renegotiated with the landlord. We've asked for a rental waiver. We've asked for rental discounts till the next financial year. And only then we have gone ahead and opened. If the landlord is not agreeing, you know, in spite of the outlet being ready and us incurring a capex, we've had to let go of that outlet, you know. So there have been a couple of instances where two of our outlets, which were close to 500, 600 square feet each, which were completely ready with fit outs, we had to let go of them. And we have opened up outlets which are within 200, 300 square feet, which are small in size, more of takeaway. And there were many outlets planned that were, you know, 1500 square feet, the larger format. You know, we have a new brand now, Wow China, and we were opening flagship stores for that across cities. We've shelved that plan at the moment. You know, we don't want to do larger on delivery, on takeaway. And we are seeing the pre-order takeaway, the delivery being the new normal.
You know, as we speak about deliveries, I also get to learn that Wow Momo plans to get into the cloud kitchen model as well. Tell us more about that.
So we already are in the cloud kitchen model. We already have around 20 outlets and each kitchen caters to two brands, which is Wow Momo and Wow China. However, you know, for us, what I feel is that the hybrid approach is something which is going to be beneficial, you know, because I think the kind of brand that we have developed, the trust factor, the consumer now going forward will believe in transparency. The consumer going forward will believe in seeing what they're getting from the brands, you know, whether it's the hygiene levels, whether it's the entire experience. So for us, you know, it's going to be a mix of obviously opening retail stores like we continue to do, and at the same time have a few cloud kitchens in locations where we can't afford to open up a store, where the rentals are high or where the landlords are not willing to budge and reduce rentals. So, you know, cloud kitchen is something which really reduces your rental cost. You know, it can be on the second floor of a building as long as, you know, it's hygienic, its brand standards are maintained, SOPs are maintained, and the consumer is getting the right product in a hygienic environment, in that ecosystem where the food is delivered to the consumer as per quality, as per brand standard, and the consumer is satisfied. We will be opening many cloud kitchen models in locations where we feel that the rentals are very high and it doesn't make sense for us to open up small stores of takeaway or delivery. So for example, like a Cuff Parade in Bombay, where the real estate is very, very high, and I have to cater to the entire South Bombay market. We have one store in Nariman Point. We might shut that store because it's very high on rental, and we might end up opening a cloud kitchen where, you know, rental would be one third of the cost, but our survival and sustenance and profitability would be matched, and it'll enable us to you know, operate profitably, which is very, very important, because, you know, it's not only about sales, it's about the bottom line in this industry, which is very important. And this is one industry where, you know, we play on very thin margins. So 1 rupee saved is like 5 rupees earned, and we have to be all unit economics conscious.
You know, as we speak about operational rejigs, what amount of job losses can be expected at your company and on an industry level, given the situation at the back?
So Priyanka, till now, for the last 4 months, you know, we did not do any job cuts. We had 2,700 employees working with us. We did not do any job cuts. We've done pay cuts across levels. So at an organization level, you know, right from top to bottom, we've done a 30% pay cut. The founders have not drawn a salary for the last 4 months. The C-suite has not drawn a salary. But going forward, you know, we will have to take restrictive measures to ensure that we survive today to fight tomorrow, you know, because you cannot, you know, earlier we expected things to improve by September, but it's not even come back to 50% of what we were pre-COVID, right? So there will be a lot of restrictive decisions that even we would take as an organization. As of now, we haven't taken any, but we are thinking of, you know, asking a few employees to go and leave without pay. We haven't yet decided upon a number, quantum of people that, you know, this would happen to, because earlier when the lockdown started, I think as an organization, we were very transparent. We gave complete security and clarity to our team that for the next 3 months there will be no job cuts. Be mentally prepared that, you know, whatever salary you draw, you utilize that money in a very efficient manner. You save money, don't do unnecessary expenses, because anyways during lockdown, you know, you don't need to incur expenses to run a house as you would do in normal circumstances. So we made it very clear to our team right in the month of March, you know, in the last week of March. And we might do ask some employees to go on furlough or some employees to go on leave without pay. The quantum of that number is not yet decided by us. I think that's a call that we will take in the first week of September, because, you know, we have a very clear in our mind that in September we will not do any job cuts, and we are going to stick to what we promised our team, you know, because ultimately this is a people's business. Today, if we let go of our employees in the current circumstances, where will they get a job, right? And what you do as an organization today will talk about the preamble of your organization in times to come. So it's about you know, fighting it out together. Everyone has to bear the pain for a larger gain. So, you know, that's why we've done pay cuts and not done job cuts. But we will have to do job cuts, which we are very clear. The quantum, the number, I think I would have a clear picture maybe by the end of August or in the first week of September. We are working on it. We are working on our unit economics. And that is where we are. But the reality is that, you know, every company, including a Wow Momo or the most heavily funded company in this space, is having to go furlough, is having to ask their employees to go on leave without pay, because conserving cash is very important in the current scenario. You know, I mean, for Wow Momo, in 11 years, I never saw losses. And in the 4 months, we've incurred a huge loss. And money from your balance sheet is just getting washed out, right? So we also have to enhance our runway. What if things don't become normal for the next 6 to 9 months? How do we survive? And you know, if we want to create 20,000 jobs and not 2,000 jobs, you know, we will have to take some tough decisions now to ensure that in future we can bounce back, because if the organization will survive.
And also on that note, would like to ask you, has the funding also dried up in the sector? What are the investors saying? You have Tiger Global on your board. What are they saying?
I think we have Tiger Global on our board. We have Lighthouse Funds. I think the investors have been very supportive. They understand that, you know, whatever situation that we are in, it's no fault of ours, right? It's a social sorrow. I think they've been very understanding. But to be very honest, if any investor has to fund you, has to fund a new company, I mean, your existing investors have to understand you, you know, because this is like an adverse time. But if you want new funding in this space, no matter how good you are, you know, this is not the right time to raise funding, because you will not get the right valuation. At the same time, even if you get a discounted valuation, I don't think you will have too many investors wanting to currently invest in the food and beverage space. People are wanting to invest in healthcare. People are wanting to invest in technology. But honestly, you know, in businesses like finance, in F&B, people are not really wanting to invest. Investors are not wanting to invest. I mean, that's what I understand from my perception of the market, that this is not the best time to raise for any company. If any company out there in the food space is looking at raising, they are not getting, you know, investor interest. So this is a very tough time, you know, and every investor is wanting to wait and watch. I mean, earlier, if an investor would take, you know, maybe a month to take a decision, now they're taking 3 months to take a decision. They all want to wait and watch. They want to see numbers improve. They want to see situation improve. And this is a high risk period for them also, right? I mean, everything is very uncertain. We all are very uncertain about the future. We don't know whether, you know, we will get back to profitability by December as we are projecting now, or whether it will become March. So it is very uncertain. Fortunately, you know, we are in a healthy position where we are very confident that, you know, by December we will break even. But for the industry, for majority of the players, you know, they are very uncertain. They don't know which way the wind is swirling to, and everyone is waiting and watching, and so are the investors. So the investor market for the food and beverage space has definitely dried up. Many of the brands are there whom I know looking at raising funding but are not getting funding. So the times are actually tough and bad.
Was that the reason why you tried experimenting with grocery, and did that experiment pay up?
So we launched Wow Momo Essentials in the last, towards the end of April, you know, looking at the numbers of April. So for us, Wow Momo Essentials was always a midterm arrangement, which we have already shut down on the 31st of July. So it was always a very midterm arrangement for like a 3 or 4 months. We said, let's see how it goes. If it does well, we might want to take it forward. But during the lockdown, it did very well for us. You know, it helped us to increase our cash flows. It helped us to spread the asset better. But I think once the lockdown started opening up in June and July, you know, people got back to, you know, buying from their local grocery shops, and the demand for ordering from a Wow Momo through Essentials through a Swiggy Zomato really reduced. We shut this line of business on the 31st of July, but I think it was a very wise decision to do this for 3 months, because it gave us decent cash cow, and it was a profitable arrangement for us. You know, I think we ended up making profits in those 3 months from this business vertical. At the same time, you know, we might want to start something like a Wow Momo Select, where, you know, we might just keep selected 10 products, which might be a dark Kirana or a dark warehouse for having them online delivered to different households depending upon the demand. And these would largely be products that are not directly available to the consumer of the shelves in a Big Bazaar or a DMart or a Spencer's. So we are thinking about launching a new line called Vamos Select, where we only keep selected products. And our stores, for example, certain organic products, you know, there's a huge demand for organic products, the entire range of organic products, right from pulses to the entire range of organic products. You know, there are brands like Pea Buddy, which are used by women and they have excellent products, but not available on the shelves. But I think with health hygiene becoming the factor going forward, I think that is something which will come in. There are many other startups out there who have brilliant products, but do not have the funding or the liquidity to, you know, get their product marketed across shelves, right? So we might tie up with them and you know, we believe in their product. We might make them available to the consumer and you know, help them have a larger reach.
So you will be picking, perhaps you'll be tying up with these brands and help your delivery partners deliver these products to the consumers.
Yeah, through delivery partners like a Swiggy, Zomato, we would enable the consumer to get these products. We would have them listed in the Wow Momo Select page on Swiggy, on Zomato. At the same time, you know, there's another big disruption that we are doing, Priyanka, which I wanted to mention to you, is that, see, delivery obviously has become the new normal. It's become the way forward, right? Earlier for us, the delivery business was around 1/4 of our business. Now it's, you know, more than 50% of our business. And when the delivery business really picks up, you know, your cost of delivery is something which also has to be kept in mind, because, you know, in the overall scheme of business, when it's only 1/4 and you have to incur cost on that delivery, it's a different ballgame, right? But when your business is more than 50% dependent on delivery, the delivery cost also shoots up, right? I mean, it takes an impact on your bottom line. So what we are doing on behalf of the NRAI, which is the National Restaurant Association of India, which I'm a part of, and you know, I've been leading this initiative where, you know, we are now getting into WhatsApp ordering for the restaurant fraternity. So every restaurant, every consumer can, you know, come to every restaurant's WhatsApp page. Every restaurant would have a unique WhatsApp number. So supposing if you come to a Wow Momo page and type a hi in WhatsApp, you will get the real-time catalog. So if you're staying in Delhi in Connaught Place, you will get the real-time catalog of the nearest store to Connaught Place, and you can, you know, choose a delivery, dine-in or takeaway. And the last mile logistics would be done by a Delhivery or a Dunzo or a Shadowfax, and not by a Swiggy and Zomato. So that will really reduce our delivery cost, because I think these guys come at almost 35 rupees for 3 kilometers. So, you know, that's really going to reduce the delivery cost, because, you know, you end up paying Swiggy, Zomato 15-20%. So if your average order ticket size is 300 rupees, you end up paying a 60 rupees. Here, you would be able to complete your entire delivery transaction in 35-40 rupees. So you end up saving 20 rupees, which is a huge saving for the restaurant. At the same time, you know, the restaurant can pass on this benefit to the consumer. You know, Swiggy and Zomato are also charging the consumer separate delivery charges, right? So it becomes more costly affair for the consumer. Here, we would not be charging the consumer a separate delivery charge initially to begin with to get traction. However, that would be the decision of every respective restaurant. At least in Wow Momo, we would not be charging. We would want to pass on that benefit to the consumer. We would want the consumer to save, because the consumer also has reduced discretionary spends, right? I mean, they have reduced. Many of them in the economy are facing pay cuts. Many of them have lost their jobs. Many of them are struggling to, you know, meet their expenses how they could earlier meet. So there is a reduction in discretionary spend. So, you know, you would want to make it more convenient for the consumer also. So I think the restaurant fraternity, the NRAI, is working on creating its own platform. So we continue to work with Swiggy. We continue to work with Zomato. At the same time, we continue to have our own platform through WhatsApp ordering and using, you know, third-party logistical partners like a Delhivery, Dunzo, Shadowfax to have the food ultimately delivered to the consumer. And we are putting in all efforts to make sure that the consumer experience is not compromised. Entire life tracking of the product. I think in our case, we are trying to, you know, put in all those factors. At the same time, you know, because these are our consumers, we will have the entire consumer database, which we don't get from Swiggy, Zomato. We feel we'll be able to serve the consumer better.
Okay. And on that note, Sagar, I would quickly like to ask you our last question. The consumer at this point in time is concerned and at the same time scared. The only question that they have in their minds is that if all of this is worth the risk, how do you plan to address that specific concern of the consumer?
See, I think it's all about being transparent. It's all about the goodwill that you have created over the years. I think there's a trust factor that a consumer has with a brand, right? And I think that trust factor comes into play now. I mean, today, if I was given an option to order for pizzas, I would prefer ordering from a Domino's because I've seen the brand for years, rather than, you know, going to, say, XYZ Pizzas operating from a cloud kitchen, because I don't know how that brand is shaping up and preparing, because it's operating of a cloud kitchen. I have not seen the back end. So I think this is where, you know, your past experiences, your past performances will come into play. And for brands who've really established themselves over years and worked hard to, you know, win over the consumer, to maintain consumer standards, brand standards, are going to now see rewards happening to them. I think in our case, we've been blessed, you know, for 11 years having served the consumers there is a loyalty factor, and we are seeing that loyalty factor now work in our favor, where the business is coming back to traction. But honestly, if I have to talk macro, I think the entire industry is putting its best foot forward to be as transparent as possible. I think we're seeing a lot of surveillance happening around health and hygiene. Every employee who's entering every restaurant, you know, it's not just about the consumer, but, you know, in case an employee gets infected with the COVID, you know, you end up putting all the other employees in the restaurant also at risk, right? And if all the other employees come at risk, your restaurant will shut. So I think brands, organizations are being very cautious. I think temperature checks are happening on a regular basis. Sanitization is happening on a regular basis. Deep cleaning of the kitchens are happening on a regular basis. At the same time, you know, a lot of immunity boosters are being spent upon. Brands are asking their employees to, you know, be safe, take precautions. You know, if you're not feeling well, don't report to job. The HR is having to, you know, enhance its task on tracking every employee. And, you know, if any employee has fallen sick, tracking how well he's recovering, what's wrong, what's not wrong, getting a COVID test done. I think as organizations, we all are being responsible. And to be very honest, you know, there's a huge cost that every organization is incurring in ensuring that these hygiene standards are maintained and these protocols are maintained, which will obviously, you know, impact our bottom line. And you will see some restaurants who are actually doing that in a very, you know, in a very sincere manner, you know, taking up their costing or taking up their pricing to an extent, because it will be difficult to survive if you don't do that. At the moment, we are not doing it because, you know, we understand that the economy is downtrodden. People don't have much discretionary spend, and we don't want to tax the consumer. But maybe in the next couple of months, you will see many brands, maybe even a Wowmo, you know, increasing its pricing by 5 or 10% because the cost of maintaining these hygiene standards is also quite high. And to be very honest, the consumer understands that, you know, and the consumer wants peace of mind. The consumer wants the best of service, the best of quality, and the best of hygiene, and they will not mind paying for it as long as they are getting the convenience being delivered to home. So I think our industry will always focus on health, hygiene, happiness. It's just that now the consumer has become more aware, and our way of approaching health and hygiene has changed. You know, I mean, earlier we would not do temperature checks. Now we are doing that. Earlier we would not maintain social distancing in the restaurants, in the kitchen. Now we are doing that. We are going for a compact menu. We are trying to ensure that, you know, we don't put our staff at risk. We are trying to, you know, very, very aggressively look into their hours of operation. You know, we're trying to reduce people to travel from public transport. We're trying to ensure that, you know, every staff is given a store close to their house where they can either bicycle it or they can privately, you know, move to that store rather than, you know, having to take public transport. So all of us are trying to put in the best possible effort to ensure that, you know, we put our employees at less risk. And by doing that, we put the consumer at less risk, you know. But like I said, you know, we all have to learn to live with the virus. Cases will happen. You will see many of the best of brands, their employees getting affected by the virus, because ultimately they're humans, right? And you know, I really feel for the riders of Swiggy, Zomato, or for our employees, you know, because they are actually risking their life and coming every day to serve the consumer. And I think we all as consumers have to also look at the softer side and be practical and not have that fear psychosis, you know, because if it can happen to us, it can happen to them. You know, we all are humans. So we have to be very practical and trust the brands and the food that we are ordering in. I think that's the best way of having that peace of mind.
Absolutely. So just to sum this up, I would say that the show must go on. And at the end of the day, until and unless, you know, we accept that this is the new normal and life is going to be about, you know, around around the pandemic or around this virus, it will not be, you know, easy to survive.
Absolutely, Priyanka. Absolutely. I mean, the show has to go on. And like I said, you know, I mean, if you work hard and you do the right things, I personally feel that luck and fortune does not leave you, you know. So I think we all have to put in our best foot forward. We all have to be focused, keep working hard and doing the right things.
And let's hope that it gets better sooner than later. And on that note, Sagar, I would really like to thank you for taking time out for us.
Thank you, Priyanka. It was a pleasure interacting with you.
So that's all that we have for this episode of Setting Sail. Meanwhile, if you have any comments or queries, you can write down to us. Our email is mcpodcast@w18.com. You can also follow us on Twitter with our user IDs @moneycontrolcom and @PriyankaSahai. Till then, for more news, views and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.